I'm excited. Anybody else excited? Yeah, this is one of those mornings where I've been up since 5, and I was like, whoo, this is going to be a hard second service here, but I'm excited, so I hope you're excited today. Easter, the day that changes everything. I'm going to tell you something that you've never heard a pastor say, maybe. At least not me. Here it is. Warning, do not take these verses seriously. What? Is that a real pastor up there? Do not take these verses seriously, or they may transform your lives. That second part is pretty important, isn't it? Do not take these verses that we're going to look at today, the story of the resurrection, seriously, or it may transform your life. Do you live in, is your life transformed? Has it been transformed? Anybody here been transformed? Okay. I want to talk about what this whole thing talks about. Being transformed, by the way. This is a verse should be in quotes. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:2. There's a transformation that can happen in our lives, and it is based on today. What happened today? And so it's the opposite of this. Because I'm going to challenge you right now. It's easy to sit in the pew. It's easy to do your church thing once in a while. It's easy to do it once a lot in a while. Transform lives changes everything. Let's talk about it. What verses? Here's the first one. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Who else in history has been raised from the dead? Well, no. Yes. Lazarus was resuscitated. Jesus was resurrected. The difference there is phenomenal. One is just giving new breath to breathe. The other is a glorified new body changed to what will inevitably be us also who follow him. Look at this. The first fruits. The first fruits means he's the bearer, the starter of something big that changes for you and for I as followers of Jesus Christ. So I'm glad you said that. But it's different. Will that be you? Second verse. For since death came through a man, who did death come through? Adam. The resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. There is a future hope that has started, the process has already started, a transformation in the lives of those who have been blown away by the message of Jesus Christ and the resurrection and changed. Changed. Are you changed? Third verse goes right along. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. What a promise. What a hope. Not the kind of hope that maybe it will happen, but the kind of hope that, a hope that's deep in the soul and it can't wait for. Life-changing transformation versus the change everything. And it's all based on this. He arose. It changes everything. By the way, that was my fault. It was dark. I prayed for sunlight this morning, and it was sunny this morning. Hard to see. But he arose, and it changes everything. And it changed the life of everyone around Jesus. Let's talk about this. How did this ever happen? Think of the life of Jesus. Think of the life of Jesus just for a few minutes. He never received honor or accolades, did he, in his lifetime? He never had any possessions of his own, a home of his own. He was crucified by his own people. His closest friends and followers fled. as they came to him to arrest him. This is the Jesus that changes everything. What changes everything? The resurrection and transformed lives. We're going to hear that a lot this morning. Something happened in the population of Christians that went from 0.0000, who knows, 9 to, by the time of Constantine, the Roman emperor, 1/6 of the population of the Roman world was now believers in Jesus Christ. And today it goes on, and so over 2 billion people claim to be followers of Christ. What happened? Hey, time out. David O'Brien's a great guy, but if David died, would 2 billion people be following him 2,000 years old? I would, Dave. Would 2 billion, if Larry's a great guy. You would. What happened? Something changed. Changed the lives of all those, I mean, that were scattered at his death, is being transformed by the power and renewal of Jesus Christ in their lives. Let's look at some groups of people. This is fascinating. The disciples, pre-resurrection. Here's an example. When he came back, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. Jesus says to his disciples, "My heart is heavy, my soul is heavy. Stay with me for an hour and pray." He comes back, and what are they doing? Sleeping. That's right. What about Peter? After a little while, those standing went up to Peter and said, "Surely you're one of them," talking about the disciples and followers of Christ. "Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed 3 times. Peter. What happened to Peter? Pre-resurrection. Look what happened afterwards. Post-resurrection. This is Peter and John standing before the people who crucified Jesus, had him crucified. Then they call them in again, Peter and John. This is the Sanhedrin, the group of religious leaders. They're standing, this is after the resurrection. And they commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." What happened? Transformed lives because of the resurrection. Let's go on. How about the other disciples? So convinced and motivated that were they that according to well-attested tradition, all except for the Apostle John signed their testimony in blood by dying for what they preached and wrote. Stop. The Apostle John did not die sort of a martyr's death, but he was boiled in oil and then vanished to the island of Patmos. He didn't get off scot-free. He stood his ground. How about the other disciples? Tradition and legend say that Matthew was killed by a sword in Ethiopia. Mark died after being dragged by horses through the streets of Alexandria, Egypt. Luke was hanged in Greece. Peter was crucified upside down. James was beheaded by Herod Agrippa I in Jerusalem. Bartholomew was beaten to death in Turkey. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. Thomas was reportedly stabbed to death in India. And as a historian, Alvin Schmidt says, men do not die for stories that they contrive or make up. You can't make a story up and say, "Well, okay, all of a sudden, all I have to do is confess that it was a story. I'm out of this thing. I'm scot-free." No, they stood their ground. Something changed in their lives. They were transformed by the power of God through the resurrection. Today changes everything. How about his brothers? Did you know Jesus had brothers? Especially James. Look what it says early on in the Gospels about Jesus' family. When the family heard about this, Jesus preaching, healing, going from place to place, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he has lost his mind. His own family are like, oh, hey, wait a minute, Jesus. Do you know who James the Just was? James the Just is Jesus' older brother who became the leader of the Jerusalem church. James the Just was known as Elephant Knees because he was praying so much and he had knobs on his knees. James the Just was held before the proconsul of the day, and basically they said, relent of this craziness and say that you won't follow Christ in this way and we'll let you go free. He didn't, and he died. And why? Scripture even tells us why. When you look at 1 Corinthians 15, it says, Jesus appeared, and he appeared, and he appeared, and then he appeared to James, his brother, and then to all the apostles. So the appearance of the resurrected Christ changed his brother. So he became a leader in the church. Well, you just think about that. Jared kind of said something about that this morning. If all of a sudden there was a casket up here, and there are sometimes, and we were here at a funeral, and all of a sudden somebody rose from the dead, somebody that you loved, somebody that you knew had passed away, somebody that, wouldn't that change your day? Come on. Wouldn't that change your month? How about your life? Now, not only was it amazing that someone was raised from the dead, but he changes the pattern for all of us who choose to trust him. The first fruits. So not only did someone sit up, but now they're calling us to something brand new, bigger, deeper than anything we could ever imagine. Let's continue. From persecutor to proclaimer, who am I talking about? You're guessing. Saul, or the Apostle Paul, he was named Saul earlier on, and Saul approved of their killing him, meaning the Stephen, the martyr. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So Paul, basically, with the permission of others, was going door to door. Any Christians here? If there are, we're going to escort you to prison. Not sure that you'll get out. Door to door with permission of the Pharisees and the elders. Look what Paul writes later at the end of his life. Five times, this is after the you'll see, this is after he meets the risen Lord Jesus. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Can you imagine what his back must have looked like scar-wise? Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. What happened? What happened? On the way to Damascus, Saul, who later becomes Paul, changes his name, meets the resurrected Christ, and his life is transformed. It just continues. And I'm not saying that this is a witness to what happened in many people's lives. Many people just went on. They didn't all die for their faith, but many did. Look what Eusebius writes. So many Christians were executed that the murderous acts were dulled, while the executioners themselves grew utterly weary and took turns to succeed one another. Unbelievable. Continues another person. Pliny, the younger, he said that they ordered them, the Christians, to be executed because they refused to denounce Christ. You don't refuse something that's just sort of ho-ho in your, so in your life. You stand for it when it changes your life. And then Tacitus writes this: mockery of every sort was added to their deaths. Covered with skins of beasts, they were torn by dogs and perished. They were nailed to crosses or were doomed to the flames and burnt to serve as nightly illumination. And then it talks about as Nero took part of that. So in Nero's gardens, they would tie up Christians and burn them to death for a nightly illumination of his gardens. Why would that happen? How could that happen? Why didn't this just die out? It's because lives have been transformed because of today and the resurrection. Anybody know the story of Polycarp? Strange name, isn't it? Polycarp. Amazing man. He was a bishop in Smyrna. He, at a very, very young age, he hung out with the Apostle John. At the age of 86, someone accused him of being a Christian. It was kind of one of those don't ask, don't tell things. But when finally, if you were found out to be a Christian and someone accused you to be a Christian, you could lose your life. And that's exactly what happened. Someone accused him. 86 years old. He was either 86 years old or 86 years he'd been a Christian. It's kind of, who knows. When the soldiers arrived at his door, he invited them in for food. He said, hey, it's late. Have some food. We'll go in the morning. It's too late to travel right now. I'll go with you peacefully in the morning. He went upstairs to his room and prayed. The proconsul said, Polycarp, you know, you're at the end of your age. All you have to do is swear by the emperor and curse Christ and just light some incense to the emperor. What would you do if your life was on the line? It depends, doesn't it? Depends on whether your life has been transformed and this is understandable. It changed you or not. Otherwise, I'd be like, where's the incense? Right? What are Polycarp's words? For 86 years I've served him, and he has done me no evil. How can I curse my king who saved me? And then he prayed, Lord, sovereign God, thank you for you deemed me worthy of this moment so that jointly with your martyrs I may share in the cup of Christ. The judge said, out with the atheists. You know what he meant by that? There's been a twist in history here. The atheists were people who only believed in one God, not many, like all the Romans. Believe in all of our gods and make sure Caesar's on his throne. We can't do that. Something's changed. Out with the atheists. By that he meant Christians. Polycarp. Interesting thing happened, though, would happen here today, too. As a historian, church historian said, there was a positive effect that it purged many, purged the church of its lukewarm members. You know what they used to call them? Bread Christians. People who were there, you know, adherents for convenience rather than for conviction. So a couple of thoughts. Tertullian said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. In other words, even as they tried and tried and tried to dispose of this, tried to get rid of this way, these followers of the way, these Christians, they couldn't. It just grew and grew. And even the Romans became impressed. And why? Because of the resurrection, because of transformed lives. No matter what came their way. So, let's continue through history just for a few moments. The Emperor Julian the Apostate, after Constantine became Roman Emperor and made Christianity the religion of the state, there were still some battles to be fought. And when he lay dying, he said this. I can't read this. Paul, can you read that for me? Vicissity? He can't read it. He's getting out his glasses. This is what I need you to write. Galilee, yeah. You know what that means? In history, he said, you Galileans have conquered. meaning those from Galilee following Christ. I couldn't stop it. And it was all because of the resurrection. I love this verse from 2 Peter. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Enough so to die for it. So Christianity continues. Scriptures continue. The resurrection changes everything. And I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you back. I'm inviting you back for the next few weeks. We're going to be talking about how the world was changed because of today. You're going to be surprised at the understanding of infanticide and the sanctity of human life has changed drastically. They used to take infants and, oh, there's a little bit of deformity or it's a girl, we didn't want a girl, and they would bring them down to the river and they would throw them in the river. Things have changed because of transformed lives. Because of God's calling in our lives. Women's rights and dignity. Mother's Day. Come on, Mother's Day. You're going to be surprised that at the resurrection and this whole turn in this world because of the Christian message changes everything for women. Any amens out there? Come back. Also, charity, compassion, orphanages, sexual morality, everything changes. You'll be surprised. Slavery. And several other interesting concepts change everything because of the resurrection, because of today. So here it is, the verse. Now I kind of want to stop for a minute. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does that do for you? You personally. Does that change the direction of your life? Did that change the direction of your life? Or, thank you for my insight for the, that was enough of my church for a while. Think if he hadn't. You and I would be dead in our sins. You would never be able to stand before a righteous and holy God with any kind of hope for anything in eternity. But he accomplished what we could not accomplish because he loved us so much. And that changes everything. So I hope you can take it seriously. Great verse, or great quote here. They knew that it was not their faith that validated Christ's resurrection, but that it was his physical resurrection that validated their faith. Has he transformed your life? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you met him as Lord and Savior? Or are you a religious person who's just kind of doing what you're supposed to do on Easter? I'm glad you're here, by the way. I'm really glad you're here. But I sat in these pews too long myself, just doing the religious, what I'm supposed to do. And there had to come a point, and there did come a point, where this message blew me away. And I gave my life to the Lord. And that changed everything. And that's my prayer for you too. Don't just do the whole religious thing. It's not really worth it. Go for life change. Let him change your life by him accomplishing what he needed to do, dying and rising for you and for I. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. You will not be able to stand before God one day and say, here I am. I always say this because it's just, here I am, Lord. I am so good and you are so lucky to have me. You can't do that in and of yourself. But when we're covered by the righteousness of Christ, he looks at us and says, you're mine. Are you his? We're going to pray and have the praise team come up, and we're just going to sing. And I hope these words mean a lot to you. Let's pray.